Welcome to season 4 of the XL podcast. In this season, as before, we will be bringing you news, views and opinions from people relating to the driver training industry, both local personalities from here in the Southwest and nationally recognised figures, all of whom will have something to say about their experience with driver training. We hope you enjoy each episode, and if you do, please give us a like at the end of it. And hello everybody, and welcome to this latest episode of the XL podcast. And today I'm very pleased indeed to have with me one of the joint founders, I suppose, when there's three of you, joint founders of the Go Green instructor training courses, and that's Laura Morris. So Laura, thank you ever so much for giving up the time today.
That's okay, it's a pleasure, thank you.
Yes, it was under threat of being videoed of you in your pyjamas, but
absolutely.
But I guarantee that's not the case.
I'm here under my own will.
Yeah. So obviously the main focus that I want to go into is the Go Green stuff, and particularly how it's developed recently since the incredibly sad loss of the wonderful Lou. I keep referring to her in every podcast. It's gradually getting it out of my system is the wrong thing to say, but it's, you know, I think for all of us, we're learning to move on and just thank her for the fantastic legacy that she's left us with.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like we're saying, it's one of those things that you don't really get over, but you can have learned to live with over time.
Yeah.
You can have learned to deal with it. So
yeah,
you can learn to cope as such.
Yeah, and you know, all the wonderful things, and the fact we've got all these videos of her in this fantastic bundle of energy to as a great memory.
Absolutely.
Anyway, what I always like to do when I get somebody, I've yet to have somebody come on for the second time. That's not because they refuse to, it's because I haven't needed to ask anybody to bail me out a second time yet. But it's just to get a bit of an overview of how you've got to where you are today in terms of in anything, but particularly obviously in terms of driving instruction. So just give us a bit of a history of where you've come from and where you are to where you are now.
That's a good question. So I became an instructor when I was 22, started training when I was 21, became an instructor when I was 22.
So only the last two or three years then?
Oh yeah, only the last couple of years. How old am I now? I'm 28 now, so I've been doing it for what, 7 years. So it's been great. It was my husband who actually got me into it. He was an instructor already. He actually taught me to drive.
Right.
I kind of thought, do you know what? I'll give it a go. I thought, I don't know if I like this sort of thing, but I'll give it a go. And lo and behold, here we are. So yeah, over the last sort of 6-7 years, I've kind of grown, especially with, like I said, we mentioned about Lou. I approached her when I was on my third and final attempt at my part three.
Right. Said,
you know, you need to help me. Like, I need help here. And she was lovely. She picked me up, she dusted me off, and my third attempt, I went and smashed it with her support and her advice. And quite naturally, I fell into instructor training. And again, she supported me throughout all of that. And then sort of Go Green came as well about 4 years ago. So it was a natural progression, but quite a quick progression, some might say. But it was a good progression with the right support from the right sort of person, the right sort of people around me. So.
Yeah. So the instructor training, was that just something you felt you wanted to have a go at, or was there some input from Lou suggesting that maybe this would be a good idea?
I think it was a bit of everything. I think it was something that I kind of wanted to do but didn't maybe envision doing as soon as I did, which was fine. I'm happy with the time scale, but I never intended to do it so soon.
Yeah.
But it was something I wanted to do, something that Lou kind of pushed me into a little bit, and also naturally PDI sort of started coming and asking questions, and I sort of helped them, and then they recommended me to other people, and it became a bit of a, you know, a knock-on effect, if you like.
Yeah.
So a bit of everything.
Yeah, and so Go Green, you say it's been going 4 years now, is it?
Yeah, 4 years it was during lockdown. And I remember just before lockdown, I rang Lou and I said, look, I want to create something, some kind of workbook. And she said, yeah, we've been thinking the same. We need to get some sort of videos or some course out there. And we did it during lockdown. It was 11 solid months of hard work, around the clock, sort of. We were very fortunate in a way to have had lockdown. Obviously, the reason lockdown was sad, but we were fortunate to have that time where we could devote that time and energy and passion into Go Green to make it as good as what it is now. So,
yeah, I think lockdown seems to have been used very profitably by some people, because I've had Lee Jowett telling me how he developed his stuff there. I spoke to Neil Whiteman last week about how he was developing his book, Untwisting the Road to Success. And I'm beginning to feel very inadequate.
good things happen in time.
seeing as we sort of spent the time just enjoying the peace and quiet. Yeah. So I ought to know this, but Go Green actually launched when?
So it was kind of, we started it in 2020, and it was kind of launched then the following year. So it would have been March 2021. We officially kind of launched it, but throughout kind of loads of Zoom sessions and stuff we did for the PDIs. Obviously, we've got the PDI group, and we did a lot of work with them throughout the lockdown period as well. And a lot of the Zooms and training we did for the PDIs there became part of Go Green. So it's kind of softly launched, if you like, during 2020, and then officially launched in 2021.
Yes, I say I ought to have known that, because we were one of the first ones in. So I should have known exactly, but I knew it was around about that sort of time. Because Christy, my business partner, and I, we started in together almost nearly 10 years ago now, because I was the trainer for this area for LDC. So we had a structure, the LDC had, which obviously at the time was very much preset tests. So we had something to work with. And then we developed, with the help of one or two things that were around at the time, a sort of structure, which over time we felt didn't really cater for our needs. And then lo and behold, you landed on a plate for us. You know, as you say, the work that must have gone into this to produce what you did is absolutely phenomenal, and it's just, it answered our prayers, really.
I think it was needed by a lot of people. I think there was just something missing. And I think it's filled in the gaps in so many different ways.
Oh, yeah. And we've actually had, talking about people passing on their third attempt, we've actually had somebody today who's got through on his third attempt. He was quite relieved about that. But, you know, everybody's using the Go Green. Most of them are doing the Zoom. Some of them forget about them, and then I tell them off, because there's free 2 hour sessions to put on your 40 hours.
Absolutely. Yeah. We get a lot of people using the Zoom sessions as part of their 40 hours.
Oh, yeah. Well, what we did was sort of tell, well, this kind of cost you, what, 400 odd pounds. Well, the 40 hours is a minimum. You know, it's not an absolute. But if you do, if we go for an absolute minimum, if you do 8 hours on there, it's roughly the cost from our hourly training rate of taking 8 hours out of the 40.
Yeah.
So you need, if you do 30 to 32 with us, and do 8 to 10 with Go Green, at least we've got the minimum, and you haven't paid over the odds for what you would have paid straight to us.
100%. I'm all for trying to help PDIs understand, I suppose, the ways in which they can gain their 40 hours.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different ways of gaining 40 hours. And quite often PDIs initially think, I've got to do 40 hours paid with for a trainer in car. And it doesn't have to be like that. There's so many different cheaper and free ways of getting 40 hours. So yeah, there's many different options there.
Now, Go Green has undergone a bit of a metamorphosis. I wouldn't say it's changed direction, but it's developed and widened its sort of what's available now, hasn't it? Which I'm just about beginning to grapple with, and I've got it on my iPad at the moment, ready to refer to if I need to, because I may be asking you one or two questions just to clarify some things in my mind. But just give us a little bit of an overview of what you and Blaine and Duke Co are actually now offering.
So in terms of what we're offering now, we offer the original PDI training materials. So we've still got our full course and our part three course for PDIs. We've also now got a rescue course, which was launched this year. So the rescue course is a more targeted, sort of focused course designed for PDIs who have not got very long until their sort of next attempt. Maybe they failed an attempt and they've not got very long left until they need to do another attempt. So it's a more like a targeted and focused course. We've now also got an ADI course. So we were hearing that many ADIs were wanting to see the materials to use it for CPD. And it was just something we couldn't ignore, that so many ADIs were after something. I think so much of the instructor training industry focuses on PDIs. And you know, a couple of months ago, we decided to actually, do you know what, we'll launch the ADI course. And we did. So we're quite fortunate to be in a position where we've been able to offer the ADI course, like I said, where not many other companies do, or not at the point where we did anyway. We've also then got the trainer course coming out as well. So the trainer course will be coming out next month. And again, that's designed for anyone who is already maybe training PDIs or is wanting to maybe get into training PDIs and isn't quite sure where to start, what to do, etc. So again, quite an in-depth sort of course. We're also going to be doing our physical workshops and our part three standards check workshops and trainer workshops again. All of those will be happening. And in the meantime, whilst we're sort of setting that up, we're also offering online Zoom workshops over the next 6 months.
Yep.
Just to fill in the gap, really, because again, we're hearing so many people saying, what can you offer us? How can we still learn? We want to do workshops. So whilst we're taking our time to sort out the physical workshops, to get them right for everyone, and to not rush into that, we're offering the Zoom workshops as well. So a bit of everything at the moment. Yeah. I think I'm quite proud of the vision that Go Green has now, in terms of it has something for everyone. It has something for PDIs at a part one stage, a part two stage, a part three stage, at a stage where you need rescuing, and also for ADIs, trainers, and everyone, really. And no matter what you're looking for, it's there's something there.
Right. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions about some of this, just partly to clarify things in my own mind. So the ADI course, so that's just to help any ADI. It's not specifically going for standards check.
It is for both. So at the moment, we have not put our new standards check content on there at the moment. What we've done is we've put all of the initial sort of instructor training materials on there, and there is, I think we counted, it was over 200 hours of footage or something like that. So we've got hundreds of hours of footage throughout the Go Green materials that we've given to ADIs at a reduced cost, because we're aware that some of it might not be as relevant to them at the moment, but we've had so many ADIs use it with such good feedback that it's been helpful for their CPD. And then we're also going to be adding in our new standards check content as well.
Right, so the standards check will go in with that, or will that be a standalone?
It'll be in the one thing, right. Together.
Mm-hmm. And is that, yes, I've just answered my own question by reading the website. You don't have to pay a lump sum, you can pay a monthly subscription.
So all of our things, now that's one thing we changed this year, was everything is now monthly. You can still buy a lifetime option, and it's yours for life. However, everything is now monthly. So all of our courses have a monthly subscription, so you can sign up and cancel anytime you want to and need to.
Yeah. A question about the Train the Trainer course. For somebody like myself, how beneficial is it?
Okay, so I think the Train the Trainer course is going to, you know, we're in the process of making that at the moment. We have a very clear vision in what we anticipate this to look like. We have all the structure and the contents. It is literally designed for anyone. So anyone who is maybe just thinking, should I start training? Not sure where to start, not sure what to do, need some guidance. It's there for you. It's also for those who are maybe just dabbling in a little bit of training, supporting the odd PDI or two, or maybe even just training a partner or a family member. But then it's also designed to be there for the trainers who have maybe been training for a long time and also who were originally trained in a PST sort of style of training. So therefore, obviously, as you know, we have had a lot of changes within the whole way training has been done. And I don't necessarily know if there's been much in terms of changing that mindset and changing the way we train and updating those skills. Yeah. So it literally goes through everything from a new, fresh perspective, if you like, to give you everything you need to know to be able to train in the modern way. And, you know, using the skills you already have, because clearly the experience and the skills you already have are, you know, invaluable. So it's about just enhancing those rather than replacing anything.
Yeah, and I think for it has taken a while for some people, and maybe myself included, to get as you say, who've been with the PST training history, to get away from the fault-focused side of things. I'm very much now aware that I'm getting PDIs when something's happening and they pick up a fault. Okay, it's more about why has it happened? You know, what are you thinking? Rather than, this is what you did. You know, the old days, when I was with LDC, and it worked for the PSTs, you had this mantra, you know, this is what you did, this is why it happened, this is what you need to do, this is what could have happened or did happen, the consequences. So next time, bloody well go and do what I tell you.
Do as I told you to.
And if you did that with the examiner in role play, he or she behaved themselves, a job done. And I can remember some of the things that our main examiner used to come out with, but I'm sitting in the back and I'm thinking, I've never known a pupil say anything like that. There was a mini dealer near us in Exeter, and when they opened up, they had a mini on the wall, sideways on the wall. There's obviously just a plastic mock-up. And I was in the back, and he's sitting at the examiner in the driving seat, obviously, and we're at the traffic lights. And he's going on about, oh, that mini, I wonder how they got it on the wall. Well, I'm thinking, for God's sake. And I know what he's trying to get the PDI just to get him to concentrate on the driving. That's my rant about the preset tests and what we all thought about them. I wonder if it's just worth, because let's move on to the PDI group for a moment, and some of the issues and the concerns there are probably with all of us with where testing is or isn't at the moment. But the PDI group, because none of us who are qualified are allowed anywhere near it, but it's
hard to get into the PDI group.
But it how large is it now?
We've got about 2,300 members. And we will message every single person who joins. We get about 350 people request to join on a monthly basis. So yeah.
Crikey.
Yep.
And things are not rosy, are they, at the moment in terms of test availability? So I assume there is some concern, stress, worry, and so on.
Yeah, 100%. No, I think we probably get between 10 to 15, sometimes more posts per day, sometimes up to 20 posts per day. And I would say probably around at least a third, if not a bit more, of those posts are PDIs who are concerned about the lack of test dates and availability. And more often than not, PDIs asking and querying what to do about their pink license, because their pink license is either expiring or they need a new one and they haven't managed to get a part three date in yet. Or PDIs even at a part two stage who are thinking, it's going to be months until I get a date for my part two. I've got my 2 year time period, which I'm bound by. What do I do? And at the moment, it's very much us coming up with solutions and ideas for them to A, try and get a date, although there isn't much of a solution for that other than complaining to the DVSA, although again that's a bit of a sticky situation because the DVSA will give you a standard response. I know that Chris Benstead at the DITC, he's doing a lot in terms of we've been talking and he's come up with a letter.
Yes, I've sent it to my MP.
I think the more people that do something,
no reply yet, sorry to interrupt you.
You know what, I don't know if many people get a reply, but I think the more people that do something,
it's
really harder to ignore.
I will say, for our previous MP here was the notorious Neil Parish, who was the one watching the dubious videos. But I will say, in his defence, I wrote to him three times while he was still the MP about test availability years ago, and every time I got an Under Secretary of State writing back to me. So from that point of view, something did happen.
That's reassuring in a way, but I think it very much then does depend on your local MP and how good and communicative is that word, how good they are at communicating with you. So it's just, it's a tricky one because there isn't much of a solution we have other than use your time wisely. And there's so many things they could be doing, and we're going to be making a video on that and sort of maybe doing a post on this about the things that PDIs can be doing, and also what to do if you find yourself in this position and your pink license is expiring. It's a tricky one, and it's not an easy fix.
Yes, well, Jason, the guy who passed this morning, he and I were talking about this, about what do I do? And I said, because Christy, has been training him, so I wasn't that au fait on where he was in his 2 year cycle, which is up already. So he was saying, what do I do? Can I even afford to do it again? Do I have to do the 40 hours again? I said, no, you don't. but he was also saying, well, if I don't, I'm going to have to do it for free, and I don't think I'm going to have to. Fortunately, all that melted away and disappeared as soon as the examiner came out and said, you know, you've been successful. I could see the scales of relief.
It's a massive weight being lifted, even for an average PDI who, you know, isn't in such a sticky situation in terms of part two and three dates. You know, like the most recent PDI I had, he qualified, he passed on his first attempt, but he was at a point where he would have had to get a new pink, but also he was being made redundant. So it was, you know, if he didn't pass it. So for an average PDI, it's tricky. Alone the added pressure from the DVSA in terms of your 2 year time period, your part two dates and part three dates, pink licenses and whatnot. You know, we all have life going on still, and that plays a massive part in the stress that we have with qualifying, let alone the DVSA pressures as well. So I really feel for these guys at the moment. I really do.
I sometimes feel almost feel unprofessional through no fault of my own when I haven't got a solution for them. And they've invested money with us. I listened to Chris. It was the one he did with you, with Terry. And he's berating the DVSA. But at the end of the day, he's saying, what can we do?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. Everything Chris says, you know, he's correct. And like you say, what else can we actually do? And it feels so rubbish to sit there and say, I don't have an answer for you, because I normally have an answer for everything in a good way. But that's one thing I don't have an answer for at the moment.
I had Bob Morton on about this time last year. Oh my God, I have never ever heard him so animated about anything when I brought up the DVSA. He was just going off the scale.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I think as trainers, we've got a right to be angry in a way, because we're representing these PDIs to a certain degree, and we've got to be their advocates, because if we don't stick up for them, who will? Because these PDIs don't know where to turn to. They don't know who to go to and ask, you know. So we've got to be their advocates. And it feels rubbish to not have an answer or a solution for them.
I tear my hair out as well sometimes. I look on Facebook and see the questions that some of these PDIs are asking, who clearly don't have the support. You'll get some unhelpful person sort of belittling them, but if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah. And who's going to tell you? If you don't know, who's going to tell you? And this is why I believe it's so important that PDIs have a trusted trainer, or just a trusted local instructor that they can go to and ask these questions. And again, that's kind of why the PDI group is there, because the PDI group is for anyone, regardless of who they're training with, a safe space for them to get the answers that they need and want.
Yeah, and you know, we've got to keep pressing the people who matter. I know, I'm sure Lou was a pretty big thorn in the flesh of the DVSA, because she would really, you know, as she knew who to target as well.
And they knew her as well.
Oh, yes.
Blaine kind of put a post on Facebook after Lou had passed away, and the DVSA had actually written to
Yeah, I saw that.
I was sorry to hear about Lou, and Blaine sort of said, we know what they really wanted to say. You're a pain in the arse. Everyone knows Lou.
Yeah, but unless you've got that sort of thing going on, it's they're going to get away. Well, I'd say get away with things, but
they've got to be accountable. They've got to be accountable and answer the questions that, you know, us guys have got.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I've said to people down here in our local Facebook group that the only way you will ever change anything is through MPs and ministers, you know, because the DVSA is an agency of government.
Yeah,
100%. But where do we go from here? it's because, you know, there are no answers, are there? It's just trying to, as you say, help people as much as possible to give them the best possible advice we can.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah. Anyway, what should we move on to? Is there any sort of pet theories or hates or likes or dislikes you have within the industry?
I was going to say, within the industry or outside?
We can put the world to rights if you like.
Oh, there's so many things I'd love to change in the world, but so little time. I don't know, to be honest. I think at the moment, I think personally, with where I am within the industry, I think it's just about being better for everyone and making sure that everyone has the right support and the right information in the right places, and that information is available to everyone.
Yeah.
And that people know where to find that information. And I think likes and dislikes within the industry, I think that goes without saying, the DVSA are not making things easy for...
I thought for a minute you were going to say Chris Benstead comes up in both aspects.
Chris is one of the good guys. Chris is...
Oh, yeah.
I think there's definitely an element out there in social media as well that people know who they can turn to. You know, you've got the good guys out there, and you've got the people who do the good materials, good resources, and have answers for things and whatnot. So,
I know Christy is overdue an audit assessment. Mm-hmm. Well, I was 3 years overdue because mine ran out in 2020. Yeah. So nothing was happening there. And Sarah Brammer at the audit office said, just carry on, there's no problem. Mm-hmm. So I actually got an assessment last August.
Okay.
And Christy knows hers is overdue. And she's, because she was able to do her, she was the first person who got the new structure in Exeter. Mm-hmm. And Darren Russell was the sort of local supremo at the time before he went off to be the assistant registrar or deputy registrar, whatever the correct term is. He was due to sit in the back, mm-hmm. and Christie wanted me to sit in the back. Mm-hmm. Now, this was the second time that I bumped Darren off a desk because I had a PDI in Taunton who wanted me to sit in the back.
Brilliant.
I think Darren, fortunately, he's not going to run into me again because every time he sees me when he's supposed to sit in, he couldn't. But Christie was in the back, mm-hmm. and had a PDI with a learner, which you can't do anymore, mm-hmm. Because only role play is available. Mm-hmm. Rightly or wrongly, but I think the DVSA are straitjacketed anyway because role play is the only thing that's in the NSDR, the national standards. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's why they've got to do that. Mm-hmm. But she's now worried about role play and mm-hmm. doing that. And I've got to say, it's not something that I've been. I think what I had an argument, not a discussion with Sue mm-hmm. Robertson. Mm-hmm. couple of years ago about this and why role play, because it's important. I said, why is it important? It's not so much why is it important, why is it the only way in which we can do it? Mm-hmm. And I understand why it is, because it's the only thing in section 6.6 of the standards. Mm-hmm. But I thought, well, where do we go for this? Who do we get to come and do some work with us?
Yeah.
And I've spoken to Bob Morton, mm-hmm. and he said, there's stuff we can do on Zoom. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to do stuff with both of you. So, you know, as you say, there are answers out there somewhere for everything. Mm-hmm. And we'll take Bob up on his offer and see where that goes, first of all.
No, that'd be good. And like I said, I think using different resources out there is important. You know, everyone out there has got different skill set, different experience, different knowledge. They've come from different backgrounds. And so it's good to use different people out there.
Yeah, I had two of our local trainers sitting with me, watching me. Mm-hmm. And that was so helpful mm-hmm. because I'm getting checked. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? So I'd have done this. And it's all done in a supportive way.
Yeah.
You know, there is plenty of talent down here without me having to go across the country, although it's nice to do that. So I spoke to Neil Whiteman last week and we went through, I've got Untwisting the Road to Success, it's right by me at the moment, and we went through that, and I'd been looking at it, but he really opened my mind to a lot of his philosophy of what he's done. I mean, he's just a CPD junkie.
That's good.
Yeah, well, I think we've sort of covered everything that I was hoping mm-hmm. we would get through. It's, you know, it's particularly I wanted to make sure the Go Green stuff gets out there because I know a lot of people are using it. You know, there's quite mm-hmm. a number of people down here mm-hmm. who are using it, and it's just such a. I don't think I've ever come across such a comprehensive resource.
I think what makes it good for trainers as well is that if your PDIs are using Go Green, so much of the stuff that we cover in Go Green are things that we would normally have had to sit there and talk about with them in car, normally stationary as well, whilst we're just sort of going through the theoretical side of things, whereas actually we can give them that information in a video, we can give them that information through a Zoom, we can give them that information through written content, so that when they get in the car with a trainer, they know what they need to do. They just need to go and do it. And we're saving so much time.
Yes, yeah. And so another aspect of it is the fact it's one of the first resources that came along that really directly addressed the business side of things.
Mm-hmm. And we're quite passionate about that. And actually one of the Zoom workshops that we've got coming up later this year is about the business side. And actually, again, like we said earlier, if you don't know this stuff, who's going to tell you?
Yes.
How do you find it out? So actually, to know about how to manage a driving test, how to sit in the back of a driving test without getting told off, how to do your accounts without getting told off by HMRC, how to, you know, manage a diary, how to do all of the business side of things is so important, and it gets left out of so much training, as well as maybe gets glossed over in training as well. So it's quite a comprehensive section there about the business side as well, which as everyone would appreciate is important, especially for new PDIs who are just starting out.
Yeah, I got my eyes open to the business side of things. Not too late, but later than I should have been, you know, found out, you know, how to optimize things online, sort of thing. You know, we now have a social media manager who posts Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for us. You know, we pay her, but it's paid dividends because we've got a regular presence there. Years ago, I'd never even thought, well, I wouldn't even have known about it. But it's only through talking to other people and sort of thing that you find these things out. You know, we have a company that answers the phone for us now, but none of this sort of thing
would have been available before.
But it's a lot of people think of it as a cost, but it's only a cost if you don't get a return on your investment.
It's an expense, but it's a valuable expense.
Yeah,
that you're getting something back from it. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, all these things just were never there, but they're in the Go Green stuff.
100%.
Yeah. Well, look, that's really covered, as I say, exactly what I was hoping we'd cover. So I'm really grateful to you. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. And I've got the domestic staff in the other room at the moment, probably falling asleep. And I've not been disturbed by the cat, which is different for the first time on one of these for a long time. Because normally I'm having to open the conservatory door behind me or shut it again because she's meowing to get in or out. So, yeah, look, Laura, look, thanks ever so much for doing this. When this goes out, I'm not sure yet because I've got a list. So I've got... Neil's in the can. I'll have this one, and then I've got a couple. One of my PDIs who passed 3 weeks ago is doing one later this week, and I'm going to con the guy who's passed, Jason, who's passed today. Thanks ever so much for all of this, and look forward to catching up with you at a meeting somewhere.
Absolutely. Hopefully the conference. There's the conference in September, and there's also the convention in May. So,
I can't do the one in May because we are season ticket holders at Exeter Chiefs, the rugby, and we have friends who always come down for the Harlequins game, and we always go up to them. And of course, Harlequins is that weekend in May. So yes, September definitely. I shall be on board for that one. So I'll make sure I look you out then.
Good.
Now I'd like to thank Laura for giving up her time to tell us a little bit more about the developments that have been happening with Go Green recently. Excuse the husky voice, I've been putting off adding this last bit for a week or so because I've had a really nasty throat infection and a hacking cough. So hopefully you won't be put off by the rather husky voice. So thanks ever so much, Laura. And if you've enjoyed listening to all of that and want to find out more, there'll be links to all the Go Green stuff in the notes on this. Also, it'll be on our Facebook page, so please go there and give us a like so that you can follow and find our updates and what's coming up in the future, because there are a few more in the pipeline, just that I've put them off for a week or two because I really haven't fancied talking like this all the time. So once again, thank you very much for listening, and look forward to you tuning in to the next one, which will be coming very soon.